Good morning again. Grace and peace be upon you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So February in our wonderful United States of America is African American History Month. And if you have caught any of what's happening on NPR, they're running a bunch of interviews and other stories about civil rights movement folk who are still alive and sharing their story. I caught a wonderful one the other day that really sort of captured my heart. It's a story and an interview of a man who was 12 years old at the time of the civil rights movement, and he remembers going to rallies and to listen to speakers with his parents. He said that as a 12-year-old, he didn't really want to go because it just was a bunch of old adults talking. But he said he used to sit in the back of oftentimes the churches, and his parents would bring him hoping that he'd maybe catch something, and he and his cousin would sit in the back and they would be doing their mathematics homework. He said, I'm a mathematician and I love mathematics. And he said, so the civil rights movement for me is all about math. So while he was sitting in the back doing his homework, he said he could sort of pick up on pieces and bits of what the adults were talking about. But what really captured his attention was the singing. The singing is what caught his heart and kind of helped him to kind of be a part of what was going on. And he said that he heard little things like some adults saying, I want my children someday to be able to go into any school they want to go into. I want my children to be able to go in any business or store they want to go into without having the fear of being in trouble or in the wrong place. And so he started to imagine himself. He thought, what would it be like if I could go into any school? Would I be just as good and just as smart as those white kids? And lo and behold, this 12-year-old boy was chosen to be a leader of other children who marched a group of children through the city. And unfortunately, he and the other children were actually arrested and put behind bars. He said, but it's what happened that when he was behind bars with the other children that really he has stuck with him. He said that while he was 12 years old and consoling kids who were younger than him and not really sure what was going on, not really fully comprehending what was happening in the world around him, he said Dr. King came and talked to all of them. And he said, it's what Dr. King said that sticks with me today. He said, Dr. King said to all of those children, he said, what you are doing today, kids, is having a big and a huge impact on children who are not yet born. That's when his eyes were open. That's when he realized there's something big going on around him. So in other words, your voice and your actions, though you may not feel old enough or smart enough to know what you are doing, those actions and your voice are crucial to the big picture and to years ahead. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to speak. Oh, Lord, I'm only a boy. Same thing out of Jeremiah's mouth. Same thing out of this very reluctant prophet. And it turns out that when we argue with God, God wins. God called him and empowered him to be a prophet despite his reluctancy. He was a prophet called to preach repentance to Judah, and it wasn't an easy task. Jeremiah's message was a really unpopular one. The king of Judah was certain that God would never allow Jerusalem to be invaded. The leaders were confident in their own righteousness. We don't need a prophet to tell us to be warned and pay attention. After all, we are fine. The prophet's words, they fell on deaf ears. And in fact, at one point, Jeremiah's scribe wrote down the message that Jeremiah received from the Lord, delivered it to the king, and the king had the scroll read. And sentence or line by line, it was cut off and thrown into the fire. Not needed, burned like rubbish. The book of Jeremiah and his prophecies, they fell on deaf ears, and the book is full of Jeremiah's complaints to the Lord about the hardness of the people's hearts, about how they ignored him, about how they even wanted to kill him. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll realize that he comes off as quite a whiner. He complained and he complained. He's afraid of what people will think. He's afraid of the king, what the king might do to him. He complains about stomach problems because he's in so much angst about the fact that nobody's listening to him. And he sees what's going to happen. I think that's why I like Jeremiah so much, is that he's a real, live person to me. A person who has anxiety and fears and uncertainties. A person who's reluctant to answer God's call. He's so sure of his inadequacy that God could never use him, and yet God still did. But it wasn't about Jeremiah. It wasn't about Jeremiah the prophet at all. In fact, it was about God and what God could do. It's always about God. Even when we think it's about us, it's about God. God prepared Jeremiah from the very beginning. We heard this morning from that reading, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, and I, God, appointed you." God was with Jeremiah every step of the way. "Don't be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you." Although Jeremiah complained a lot, God still gave him what he needed. God didn't abandon Jeremiah despite his worry. God said, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build up and to plant." I don't know about you, but if I were Jeremiah, I'd kind of be a little reluctant too. It's a lot of responsibility, but God gave him what he needed. I believe that even when we're not sure, or even when we're completely oblivious, each one of us is called. Now, it's easy probably to look up at me and this big green thing and say, "Sure, you're called. You're the pastor. I could never do what you have to do." But that's the thing. God doesn't call all of us to be pastors. The last two Sundays, we've heard from the New Testament readings from Paul in the letter to the Corinthians. And Paul reminds us that God gives each one of us gifts to be used for different purposes within the entire body of Christ. God doesn't need a congregation full of pastors, although sometimes I look out and I think we are. But God doesn't need us all to do the same thing. God needs us each to use the gifts that we've been given right where we've been given them. And you may be saying, "Yeah, but I'm only a boy," or "I'm only a girl," or "I'm only a teacher." "God, I'm only a student." "God, I'm only a housewife," or "I'm only a musician," or "I'm only a retiree," or "I'm only a dad," or "a mom," or you fill in the blank. I'm only. Whatever you do in your life, wherever it is that God has planted you, wherever it is that you find yourself to be, or the role that you claim, that is your call and your gift from God. Sure, some of us are called to be missionaries. Some of us are called to be ordained pastors. Some of us are called to be great Christian heroes like Mother Teresa. It's true, God calls those great individuals. Some of us are called to be prophets even. But most of us, we're called simply to live, planted, rooted where we are, fully embracing the gifts that God has given us. We live as witnesses to the resurrection, witnesses and proclaimers of freedom and hope and love, proclaimers of grace for all people, for simply the gift of being God's child. It may seem minor. It may seem just sort of simple and unimportant, but we are called to be everyday prophets. And knowing that the everyday ordinary is the great stuff of God. We are parents and children, friends and neighbors, students, bosses and employees, called children of God, planted and given what we are needed. God looks at you and says, don't just say that I am only. Claim who you are. Claim who I have made you to be. I wonder, as I am reflecting and preparing for today, what our lives would be like, or what the world around us would be like, if every single one of us looked ourselves in the mirror every day and said, God knew me before I was born. God chose me before I was conceived. God sends me to be witness of the good news of love to the world. Just think of the transformative power that we could do if we did that every single day. We are each called to make a difference right where we are, for those around us, here at LCH, but even in the wider circle of the world of Honolulu and beyond. We are called to be God's church, making changes one sometimes small step or small witness at a time. So go, knowing that you are called and given exactly what you need to be God's child. Amen.